What is good, defenders? Welcome to episode, we are almost there, wow, 297 of Defenders of the Bank, the LAFC podcast streamed in over 100 countries worldwide. You know my voice, it's the Scarf, J.R. Liebert. Welcome to what wound up being a much more joyous pre-episode meeting between Philly and I, an episode that we are going to have today because Saint Denis coming to the rescue in stoppage time. Hope you guys all got your extra time free goodies in the app because of Denis Bawanga's goal. What a match it was. And by the way, what a difference it makes. We had a 2-2 tie last week. It didn't feel very good. This 2-2 draw, however, felt much, much better. Again, welcome to Defenders of the Bank. Philly and I both hitting the Wayback Machine with the jerseys that we've got today. And oh my goodness, yeah, Ben Skolnick says lemon and lime edition. That's I got the YouTube Kick Childhood Cancer Kit. I believe this one's from 2019. Philly has the, I'm going to say it, why not? Philly has the ill-fated camo YouTube jersey that we all rolled into Carson with. I think that was also in 2019. It didn't go very well for LAFC on that one, but that's fine. It's okay. Philly right now is playing the ones and twos of producer trying to figure out our Instagram live stream, which is why I'm extending our intro here just a little bit. We will, as always, here on Defenders of the Bank. This is nice, though. Philly's not talking. I actually get a minute. I could talk about Philly if I wanted to. Oh, he gave me the thumbs up. Now I have to stop. All right, he's good. You know him from all of the damn different things he does on all the different platforms he does it. Soon, we're hoping to be part of the TST as well. I introduced to you one Christian Philly Philemon.
Yes. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, fans of Major League Soccer. Good morning, lovers of the black and gold. Salute Hello Kitty, and good morning to the millions
and millions
of Defenders of the Bank listeners. I'm feeling rather happy right now. I know my moniker is far from awake, Philly, but the fact that I figured something out on the production end with, of course, a little bit of help from Nina, and the fact that we're on Instagram Live right now doing this makes me feel pretty darn good. I don't feel pretty amazing after the LAFC's draw yesterday, something that should have really been a win in the grand scheme of it all. But that besides me, it's the morning. We're all getting to hang out together. We got that cup of coffee or the hair of the dog, depending on how your morning's looking. And we are all here together to talk about LAFC drawing against the New Jersey Energy Drinks.
Yeah, Philly, Mario in the chat says, we can't really see you. You're just like a floating head with the camouflage right now. You're like blending in to the background. It's a whole thing. Tony says long night. Absolutely. By the time we got out of there, it was what, 11 something, I feel like, after the press conference. But look, again, I think what we are going to talk about several times on this episode is the different feel that this 2-2 draw had versus our last 2-2 draw. And I want to say at the very outset, Philly, how good did it feel to watch us play with an actual number nine at the top, especially in the first half? I think we all can agree that the first half was awful. I mean, it was hard to watch. It was like watching a game in quicksand or in syrup. We were just playing slow. The ball wasn't moving very well. But there was one bright side, and I think we all could agree, Kai Kamara's first 45 minutes as a nine looked very, very good for LAFC.
It was awesome that he got the start. It's something that we anticipated with Edward Atuesta out on yellow card accumulation and our lack of depth in the midfield. The question was going to be what was going to happen. And so Steve opted to bring Matty Bogusz back down to the midfield. And as he mentioned during the press conference last night after the game, Matty was really excited to be back in a position that he feels far more comfortable in. Steve also did say that Matty was a little rusty being in that position, having not been there for the majority of the entirety of the season. But him getting shifted down there was an exciting bit. And Kai Kamara getting his start. Kai Kamara is a legend, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know who he is, his story is incredible. I would advise you to look it up. Coming in from Sierra Leone, moving into Maryland, coming out to California. He worked, believe it or not, doing janitorial work at at Carson for the Galaxy, like doing stuff with cleanup and whatnot. I learned this from our good friend Remy from Canal Plus, who was filming us the other day. Kai Kamara worked doing janitorial duties for the Galaxy. Wild stuff. He then goes on over to Cal State Dominguez Hills, has an amazing career, and then, well, the rest is history. And as it stands right now, he is number three on the all-time list for goals scored in Major League Soccer, 144, one behind Landon Donovan, 145. And I can't wait till Kai has that opportunity to pass Landon Donovan, because you know it's going to happen.
Oh, I absolutely. It's going to happen this season in black and gold. It makes it that much better that he will be dethroning San Jose Earthquakes legend Landon Donovan in the number two spot in all-time MLS scorers. I want to thank everybody who's up early this morning and in the chat. Genuine Cougar. Caitlin, we're so glad you can follow along with us. Obviously, Tony and Mario and Marlon and Ben. Hi, Ben. You've been relatively quiet for the first 6 minutes of the episode, Ben. Look. That people want to talk about our identity. People want to talk about some lack of, you know, creativity in the attacking third. I think it was kind of telling, Philly, with Denny Bawanga's answer when I asked him in the press conference. I said, so game started out first 70 minutes. You got to play alongside Kai Kamara, obviously a little different than playing alongside Matty Bogusz. And his answer was very telling when he said, yeah, it was nice to play alongside a true nine, said the translator. I think he was kind of sending a message to LAFC a little bit with that true nine answer. And he called, obviously, Matty Bogusz a true eight, which is where Matty switched on over. So we had this really interesting dichotomy of, I think Denny Bawanga really liked playing alongside a true nine because it clearly does open up some space. And anybody and everybody that watched that match saw, first of all, Kai Kamara at 39 years old may have the best vertical on the team, all due respect to Jesus Murillo. And by the way, Murillo out with a knee injury for this match, wasn't even in the 18. But the vertical, the options that Kai Kamara gives you, both in the box, on set pieces, and honestly winning aerials in the middle of the park, which we saw him do several times, that I think Denny Bawanga likes those options a little bit more. I think if we get him up to match fitness so he can play a full 90, yes, even at 39 years old, up through the July 1st deadline, Philly, I think Kai Kamara is the number nine that we need.
I wouldn't disagree, but then where does that leave the midfield? That's the question. So Matty Bogusz obviously is playing up top. If Kai Kamara sits in that center forward position, and then you have Oliveira to the right and Denny to the left, who goes into the midfield? Who sits down? Edward Atuesta can't be on the bench, in my opinion. Timothy Tillman is playing exceptionally well, better than he's played since joining LAFC. And then obviously, where does that leave Ilya Sanchez? Maybe we should really get into this as far as the lineups are concerned. Cause you know, we have our segments that we like to hit up, Scarf. I mean, I'm sure the millions
and millions
didn't anticipate being 9 minutes into this pod, not hearing about this day in LAFC history.
No, I hear you. I mean, look, LAFC dropping the three in the back last night is what got us that extra goal. So maybe we talk, is it possible at all that LAFC could play a 3-4-3 and look a little bit better? And that we had Matty Bogusz in the middle to have those four midfielders. I don't know, but we'll talk about it. Let's do it.
Not a bad idea.
Right? This not with Maxime Cheneau or Eddie Segura at center back. But either way, more on that later. Let's get into this day in LAFC history. Mario, to answer your question, it was six times that Timothy Tillman was fouled. If you listen to the press conference, I asked him about that and what it was like to be fouled six times. He goes, I can't control the other team's game plan, but we definitely got fouled a whole bunch, including him fouled six times. Let's get into this day in LAFC history. Today is the day after 420 for all of you who celebrate. April 21st, and LAFC's history is rich on April 21st, because in our first two seasons, we banged out two wins, and they were emphatic. On our maiden voyage into Major League Soccer, April 21st, 2018, LAFC defeats Montreal, and this was before they were the Foot Clan. This was the Montreal Impact that we defeated 5-3. Ignacio Piatti with a hat trick. But that wasn't enough, because Laurent Simon, off of a free kick, Carlos Vela off of a penalty kick, Latif Blessing on the run of play, and a man who was there to watch us yesterday, Benny Failhaber, scoring a goal for LAFC. But my favorite, if you look at who scored the third goal for us, it was a player on Montreal, an own goal. You may hear about an own goal today in our match last night. The own goal, though, was scored by Jukka Raitala. And why is that significant? Because we drafted Jukka Raitala in the expansion draft. He was on LAFC for 1.47 seconds and then was traded to Montreal for Laurent Simon. So Jukka Raitala still with a little bit of loyalty and allegiance to us, even though he was with us for 1.56 seconds. He scores for LAFC as well. 5-3 victory. And then the next year in 2019, LAFC defeating the previously undefeated Seattle Sounders on Easter Sunday, 4-1. It was an absolute shellacking by LAFC. Edward Atuesta scoring in the 39th minute. I promise you this actually happened because I went back to look it up. Christian Ramirez did score a goal for us in that match. Mark Anthony Kay, as Philly likes to call him, the Canadian glory machine, with 3 assists and a brace for Carlos Vela. And with that, Carlos Vela tying Chris Wondolowski and Roy Lassiter of the Tampa Bay Mutiny, to the quickest to 10 goals to start the season. He did it in just 9 games. That is this day in LAFC history. Philly, we got a Roy Lassiter and a Chris Wondolowski mention.
You mentioned Benny Failhaber. I felt kind of bad for Benny because when he got put on the screen, he was on there in the middle of a conversation with somebody and it said LAFC alum. Hey, Ray is in the chat. Jose Salcedo. This would be on Instagram, Scarf. The Instagram stuff doesn't convert on over to the StreamYard. But from what I gathered, Ray's out of purgatory. He's now at bank at the BMO again, doing the copper. Going back to my point, though, Benny gets on the screen and nobody says anything. There's no cheering, there's no yelling, there's no clapping whatsoever. So at one point I'm looking around our section, I'm thinking, hey folks, he was the most capped player that first year at LAFC. Does anybody know who he is? It was kind of embarrassing for a moment.
But that was our original captain.
Yeah, our original captain. Absolutely. Nobody cheered or went nuts for him. But the funny thing is nobody kind of went nuts when they put on 3 members of the Los Angeles Kings either. And maybe that was due to the fact that everybody was so intent and invested in the game against the New Jersey Energy Drinks. I don't know. But it was a little disappointing to not get the kind of fanfare and applaud that Benny should have gotten considering his accomplishments that first year.
No, you're absolutely right, man. I was a little bummed. Look, Benny Failhaber is we've talked about this on a couple different episodes. We were listening to an MLS podcast, you and I, when they were talking about Benny Failhaber. And look, this MLS podcast, and it just didn't do a very good job of, in my opinion, talking about Benny Failhaber and framing him in the right way during our maiden voyage, our season in 2018. And that, by the way, Philly, is what spurred me, because you shared the clip with me. That's what spurred me to call you 30 seconds later and say, you know what, let's start this damn thing. Let's get Defenders of the Bank off the ground. It was all because of Benny Failhaber. I got excited because I'm a big Quinton Byfield fan. I like watching him for the LA Kings. He's a lot of fun to see play. That was cool to see Byfield there. But look, either way, what a night last night. And it started, I do want to say this too. I got excited because Juju was in the building. Juju Watkins, USC, probably I would say the third best player in the nation last year behind Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. Although you can argue she might've been number 2. Juju, the honorary Falconer last night. And she was up in Founders Club. I got to say thank you for being there, right to Juju, which was cool. Look, I think it was awesome. Yesterday was a weird day, too. You know, in the morning, we got the USC spring game going on, so nobody's parking passes worked until 2:30, in case you were there earlier. We had the Festival of Books. We had the Da Vinci exhibit. There was all kinds of stuff going on. But, Philly, at the end of the day, we take home a point. Let's get into some quick news and notes real quick. Luis Muller, the guy wearing number 91, everybody, who you saw last night towards the end of the match, signing another short-term contract with LAFC. This is his third, I believe, short-term contract on the season. I think because he's on an LAFC 2 contract, we have to check the rules. Without signing a first team contract, I want to say he could only come up and play in 15 matches for LAFC. So he's already been eligible for selection for 3. So we'll see if that starts the countdown. And then Philly, some consternation in ACFC Nation, Angel City, trading
consternation.
Away.
Consternation, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Consternation. Yeah.
It's early.
Not constellation, not constipation, consternation.
That's right. It means like, you know, turmoil and there's some upset people on the Twitters if you go to the ACFC universe right now because they traded away Paige Nielsen and Amandie Henry right before the deadline. They have a match today at 4:30, which you and I will be going to after we see our New York Metropolitan sweep the Dodgers. That's right, baby. You and I are going. Can't wait. And Philly, it's got to be a good omen when yesterday in the mail I got a Daryl Strawberry autograph card. So I'm just saying this, it's going to look, everybody who's Dodger fans out there right now, sure, give us the double bird. You can say whatever you want to us. We are diehard Mets fans, even though born and raised in Los Angeles for me. Philly, you were born and raised in a small town. What was it again?
A small town they call Queens, New York. They're 10 minutes driving from Shea Stadium. We love the Mets. Everybody knows that. It's nice to see them doing something that they haven't done in a long time, and that's win. So that's kind of funny. Ben, I absolutely agree with you. Those City Connect uniforms look great. And for all those people saying they look like Yankee jerseys, I get you, but look into the story as to why they created those City Connect jerseys, because it's quite awesome. I love it. The purple's due to the color of the number 7 train. I love that jersey. I'm totally copping one.
Billy, this is exactly why we can never wear that one warm-up kit from like 2020 with the Independence Day or the whatever one that looks like a Chivas USA jersey. That jersey is a Yankees jersey. The story is incredible behind it. And go back and watch the video that the Mets put out. It is perfect. And then they show the jersey, and I'm like, where are the pinstripes? Just might as well call them the Yankees. I love the idea behind it. You're absolutely right. By the way, Panda has vetoed you getting one of those jerseys, by the way. Right there in the chat, we could all see it. Roberto Hernandez, Section 5. Where are we sitting, 36?
Field 38, I think.
38. Yeah, so come on over. Say hi. Look, we're getting booed for this. This is not a Mets podcast, but boy, do we ever get to talk about this. They're only in town once, although Philly and I will be going to Angels games because Angels play the Mets this season as well. All right, so want to remind everybody again, we were just talking about Angel City for a quick second. Follow Angel City Chicks for all your Angel City news. LAFC 2, by the way, Philly, put a 2-1 beatdown on Ventura County FC, Los Dos Reincarnated. Let's see. LAFC beats Carson 2-1 to hand them their first loss of the season. LAFC 2 beats Carson Jr. 2-1 to hand them their first loss of the season. And it was a fun one. Eddie Segura, Nathan Ordaz, Tomas Angel, and Eric Duaneus all starting for LAFC 2 to get them a little bit more run. And it was Nathan Ordaz, Nate the Great, the Wonderkind, scoring in the 30th minute. And then Luis Muller, who gave the assist to Ordaz on his first goal, scored as the second goal of the match to seal it 2-1. Luis Muller ready to roll. Love that. That's the end of our news and notes segment.
No coincidence, Scarf, that they would have brought up these players to go up against Galaxy's second team. But at the same time, Galaxy also brought up a couple of players as well. I thought it was kind of funny, though, when I originally looked to see who LAFC 2 was competing against. Like, oh, they really want to stick it to the rivals that way. But, you know, it was fairly evenly matched at
that
point.
Jalen Neal, right? Jalen Neal played at center back for them. They had a couple of
see his mom tweeted the other day how disappointed she was in the supporters for the Galaxy because nobody showed up to any of those games recently.
Dude, also, Jalen Neal, the last match he played, all I saw, and look, I know we're not a Galaxy podcast, but Jalen Neal is a special kid. I think he's going to be very, very good. I think he could potentially make the World Cup or at least the Olympics roster coming up for Team USA. His first half in the last match that he played, Philly, 45 minutes, his passing accuracy was 100, 52 for 52. The kid is a brilliant passer out of the back. Not much on the offensive end of things, but a very good defender and a very good passer out of the back.
You've given him way too much time on this pod, Scarf.
All right, let's talk about, okay, so Philly has asked, and I want to respect Philly's wishes on this. He says, Scarf, every time you talk about Galaxy, you never call them the LA Galaxy. You always call them Carson. So will you please, on behalf of all of us other fellow New Yorkers out there, will you please stop referring to them as the New York Red Bulls? So from here on out, Philly, I will proudly refer to them as either the New Jersey Energy Drinks or the Harrison Red Bulls for you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, and I'm going to use a rather profane word. That's a fake-ass New York team. I'm sorry to say that. Born and bred and raised in New Jersey. Their connection to New York City was when they were the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, and they might have practiced in Queens. That's about it. Like you said, as a New Yorker, I take great offense to anybody calling them New York. People make the same argument about the Jets and the Giants, but at the end of the day, they started their lives out in New York. The Giants played at Yankee Stadium. The Jets played at Shea, so on and so forth. Where the hell are you going to put a massive stadium in New York City? We move right along. But yeah, New Jersey Energy Drinks playing out of Harrison, New Jersey. And I got to tell you, I've been to games there before. The facility that they play in is gorgeous. It feels like you're at a European facility. It's awesome. The problem is nobody goes, and it's not because of it being hectic. Like, parking around there does kind of stink, but you could easily take New Jersey Transit there. It's very well connected to that. I don't understand why they have a tough time and they struggle to bring in fans. They're right down the road from Newark, which has a vibrant soccer community, in particular Brazilians, but nobody goes to those games. It was, what, a season or two ago, if I recall? The Red Bulls were in the first round of the playoffs. They had 10,000 people in that facility for a place that holds over 20 grand. So to me, same as people will make the argument about the other squad down the 110 outside of Los Angeles, it just didn't hit me. It just wasn't marketed towards me. And believe you me, I tried. So I hate, as much as I dislike the team down the 110, I equally dislike the team across the Hudson River.
Yeah, look, I totally get that. I have no ill will towards the Red Bulls. In fact, when I was watching MLS, they had a couple players named Thierry Henry and Juan Pablo Angel that I loved to watch back in the day. Rafa Marquez was also on that team, I believe, as well. And these were fun teams to watch. Look, the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars days, that's when it first hit me, man. That's Tony Meola. That was my original favorite Major League Soccer player, was Tony Meola. So yeah, Philly, where's your paparazzi today? So look, I get it. One of the cooler jerseys, retro jerseys, if you can find a New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, that logo was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. But that's just me. All right, let's get into the lineups, Philly. Let's get into the head-to-head. We have only played against them three times in our illustrious 7-year now career at LAFC, 2 wins and 1 loss in our history. Not a lot to take away from any of those, because neither team really had anybody who was on the team when we last played them, except, oh, by the way, Aaron Long was on the other team the last time we played these guys. It would, I think, Philly, be characterized as not the return against the Red Bulls that Aaron Long wanted after this match. We'll talk about it in just a second. Although, from what we heard, in the press conference, who was it? Scott? Did Scott ask about Aaron Long? Yeah, Scott asked about
Aaron. Yeah, Scott French. Yeah.
Scott goes, hey, any update on Aaron Long? And very simple answer from coach. He said, Aaron will be fine. That's what we got. Aaron will be fine. So I don't know what that means, but Aaron will be fine.
God, I had such a buildup for it, and you already spoiled it.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. I mean, the cat's out of the bag. Aaron's going to be fine.
Okay. Yeah. Aaron's going to be fine. And Philly, by the way, I know you're doing the LAFC lineup. You'll talk about Jesus Murillo as well, because people are asking in the chat, where was Jesus Murillo last night? And also David Martinez. Philly will cover all those things in just a second after I get through the New York Red Bulls lineup. Sandro Schwartz, who, by the way, since he has taken over this club, has been very, very good. Sandro Schwartz, an excellent coach in Major League Soccer. Yes, sir.
Sorry.
No, what was that?
What do you think?
facility has been invaded. Philly, Sandro Schwartz, by the way, from Mainz in Germany, played his youth career at Mainz as well, a senior career at Mainz where he had 100 caps. And look, he has been in the German coaching sphere since 2009, came over last year for the Red Bulls, but this guy also managing Dynamo Moscow, Hertha, Mainz. Like he's definitely got some good pedigree as a manager, and he's come over and really changed the Red Bulls since 2023. Out for this match would be Andres Reyes, who's serving a red card suspension, Peter Stroud and Serge Ngoma, who are both out for injury. And that leaves a 4-4-2 consisting of, look, I think personally their player of the match was Carlos Coronel, their keeper. Very, very good match for Carlos Coronel. Made some incredible saves. Their back line consisting of the Nealis brothers. And look, I'm going to make a reference to Shorzy later on in this episode. And to me, the Nealis brothers and Noah Eiley, those are the gems, and I'll talk about them in a second. But you got Dylan and Sean Nealis on the back line, as well as Noah Eiley, and a player who, again, we talked about Jalen Neal being somebody to watch for the Olympics or for the World Cup squad. John Tolkien, their wingback for New York Red Bulls, is an incredible player. Watch more John Tolkien. He is very, very good. In the midfield, you had Wiki Carmona, Daniel Edelman, Emil Forsberg. We'll talk about Emil Forsberg in just a second.
Deadbeat Forsberg.
And I want to give Frankie Amaya his props. Frankie Amaya, I believe, former number one overall MLS super draft pick out of UCLA, making his 100th career start in Major League Soccer. And at the forward spots, you have Dante Vanazier leading the team with 6 assists and Lewis Morgan leading the team with 6 goals. And the players who we would see in the 18, Dennis Jengar, Elias Manuel, Kyle Duncan, and Cameron Harper. That is the lineup for Red Bulls Philly. It would be a very different lineup for the first time this season in black and gold.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, real quick, just going back to that Red Bull lineup, statistically, they've been very good. You mentioned how Lewis Morgan, I don't know if you mentioned it because I'm on Hagrid duty. If you're wondering, defenders, what this, whose black cat is that's running around me, Hagrid does not like it when the door is closed on Film Monster Studios. He's a menace outside of the door, scratching and screaming. So hence why he's in the room right now. And yes, I understand he's a little distracting to all of us and to me as well. But statistically, the Red Bulls' Lewis Morgan was tied going into the game with Chicho Arango for the Golden Boot lead until Chicho goes ahead and blasts a brace. What a game he had. I'm sure Scarf will bring that up later on. But yes, yeah, he's the leading scorer in the league. Vanzier, the leading assist man in the league. A very efficient team, a very well-coached team, and a team that obviously we would like to beat. Those kits, by the way, as they were walking out of the tunnel, from the backside, it looked like somebody mixed urine and Clorox together. That's what it gave me the image of, this nasty little yellow color to it. But then when they turned around, I actually did like the Red Bulls kit. It reminded me of the Columbia kit from 2019, which I absolutely loved. So from the back, it looked like crap. From the front, it was all good. So I just wanted to say that.
And Philly, we came out in the, what is it, Greener Goals warm-up kit, right? It's basically the parlay kit for this season, right? I think that's, although it used to be, what, parlay was made out of recycled plastics. This is a little bit different either way. But why did we look like the Red Bulls warming up in like the whitish, reddish kits? And you had Red Bulls looking like the Portland Timbers warming up in those green kits. That was a weird warm-up to watch as well. But yeah, I'm with you. Let's get into LAFC's lineup.
Yep, starting in between the pipes, no question about that. Hugo Lloris, Sergi Palencia, Maxime Cheneau starting at center back in lieu of Jesus David Murillo. And yes, the question's been asked, where was Muri? Questionable coming into the game, not out, but you know, wanted to be precautionary. He was listed with a knee scenario, so we'll be seeing him shortly, but that's what he was listed as in the injury report. So that's hence why you have Maxime Cheneau starting in his place. Aaron Long making a start, his first appearance against his former club since signing on to LAFC, and obviously Ryan Hollingshead, who, I mean, deserves a spot. If there's anybody back there that deserves to never sit the bench, it's Ryan Hollingshead. In the midfield, you have Timothy Tillman and Ilya Sanchez. No surprise. But as we mentioned at the top of this podcast, Mati Bogusz got dropped back into the midfield because Edward Atuesta could not play due to yellow card accumulation. So up top, that gives us Denny Bouanga on one wing. We have Kike Oliveira on the other. And your center forward, Kai Kamara, making his first start for LAFC. We had big, high hopes and expectations for him in today's game and yesterday's game. If you watched One More Sleep, you'd notice that I had a paparazzi behind me. Not no paparazzi. I'm not a famous human being. But that's our good friend Remy, who represents Canal Plus, which is one of the major, major networks overseas in Europe. And he was in town to do a story on Kai Kamara and, of course, Denny Bouanga. So that's the story with why he was there. That's your starting lineup for LAFC. Omar Campos would get some run. Eddie Segura would really get some run. Then we have Nathan Ordaz. Lewis Miller, who got himself some run as well. Romero, Tomas Angel, and Eric Duenas. That rounds out the 18 for LAFC.
All right. So, disclaimer, the first half was boring.
Boring is sin, at least up until after 8 minutes in.
I literally went 12 straight game minutes without taking a note. Like, not a thing in the first half. However, all the action, like you said, happened in the first 9 minutes of the first half. It started out, you know, well enough. Couple teams feeling each other out in the first 3 or 4 minutes. And then, look, people have asked us in the chat, how do we feel about Maxime Cheneau? How do we feel about Hugo Lloris? How do we feel about Kai Kamara after this match? We're going to talk about it. Please stick around with us until the end of this episode. Philly and I will banter a little bit about Maxime Cheneau. Philly and I will banter a little bit about Hugo Lloris, about Kai Kamara. I'm sure we'll talk about Omar Campos, who's put in two pretty good shifts in the last two games as well. We're going to talk about all those things, but sit with us through the game recap real quick, and then we'll get there. I do want to say, though, in that fifth minute, Philly, the first time that Maxime Cheneau was challenged at all, his man ran right by him. It was as if I was trying to keep up with whoever that defender was, ran right by him. And look, that's what caused this whole play. That ball that sent through, and then you have the cross to Emil Forsberg. We should have been down 1-0 in the fifth minute, if not for Aaron Long. Aaron Long makes this save literally on the line. Beautiful sliding save. Unfortunately for Aaron Long, he kept sliding. And look, it's like all those different, Facebook reels, YouTube videos, the shorts, whatever it is, TikToks, where they show the guy hitting the pole and it's dong, Dominus Rodriguez, Pontius, and it's like the thing from church. That's what I felt like we saw with Aaron Long. And it was like right above his shin area, like mid leg. But it looked bad, Philly. They showed the replay in the stadium. Everyone went, oh, that looked really bad. And of course, after a couple of minutes, he has to come off, limping off, and on comes Eddie Segura. And Philly, I think the one thing you and I could agree upon with Eddie Segura this season is he seems snake bit.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good season thus far for Eddie Segura. You know, trying to get some more minutes playing for LAFC too, just to get match fit and ready. But yeah, I mean, between getting absolutely sliced up defensively to scenarios like what would occur momentarily, it hasn't been a good one for him. But, you know, Red Bull looked really good within that fifth minute. Steve alluded to the fact that they were really great on the counter, and obviously they were really great on set pieces. I mean, Wiki Kimona had a great pass in to Lewis Morgan, and obviously Van Zier, instant goal, like you said, Aaron Long making the tackle. They carried him off. It didn't look like he could put any weight on his foot and on his leg initially. And it was good to us, a sigh of relief for everybody out there when Steve told us in the press conference that Aaron Long is going to be fine. Thank God. Obviously, when you see that angle and the way it would have hit based on the impact, you know, you have to think of that comic book bubble. Ooh, that's schmatz. Like, just didn't feel good whatsoever. But how everybody applauds Maxime Crépeau for putting his body on the line in the MLS Cup final in 2022 against the Philadelphia Union. Look, now you can never tell anybody or any of us that Aaron Long doesn't play for the crest. He sacrificed his body on that play, averting what no doubt could have been a goal for Van Zier. That's a scenario where that man should not have to buy a beer, at the very least for the remainder of this season. I'm not going to say for the rest of his career, because there's still so much more of it left to play. But Aaron Long sacrifices his body. And that obviously constitutes the fact that he plays with heart. So nobody better question that Aaron Long doesn't seem like he plays with any heart. But the irony of it, and the thing that kills me, is he finally goes up against his former side. First time since signing on to LAFC, right? And it's business. It's not personal. But I'm sure he looked over there thinking about his career. And Aaron Long did have a really good career in Harrison, New Jersey. He was a defender of the year in his time there. His performance led him to the U.S. men's national team. He had a great career. But he sacrificed his body to prevent his former side from scoring a goal. That, my friend, constitutes a toast to you.
Yeah, and look, this wasn't the match against the Red Bulls that Aaron Long was hoping for. But I think if you tell him, hey, ultimately, your performance will be remembered by saving a goal and sacrificing your body, he'll take it.
The game.
And again, he'll be back. He'll be fine. So that's the key, right? That's the good part about all of this. Unfortunately, what that meant was that Eddie Segura had to come right in off the bench on a corner kick situation. And look, I put this goal on two different things, and I'll talk about them both right now. Number one, Hugo's got to come out and get that ball. Hugo has to come off his line and go out and snag that ball. It was a little bit of an awkward angle. It might have been a little bit of a stretch, but at the very least, punch it out to the top of the box, get that ball away. Hugo has to come off his line. Eddie got caught, of course. Look, I say this to all of my volleyball players. When I sub a new one on, the ball is going to find you the first couple of points that you find your way onto the court, find your way onto the pitch, whatever it might be. The ball found Eddie Segura. Now, the second thing I put it on, and I'll say this, I just saw it several times throughout the match. And Philly, you and I have talked about this on the podcast a couple of times. Eddie, with a couple of knee surgeries and a couple of setbacks during rehab over the course of him trying to get back right, I just don't know how much that knee has left in it. And I don't know that that meant maybe he couldn't jump up and push off in the way that he was kind of being held from behind. They decided to body him up pretty good, more on bodying up our guys in the box when we talk about the goal in the 81st minute. But Eddie kind of got bodied up, couldn't really jump the way he needed to. And of course, as he tried to flick it, I'm not sure where he was trying to flick that ball other than a beautiful top corner goal off the header. But just an unlucky set of circumstances for Eddie Segura, mixed with, I think, the knee and certainly Hugo not coming off his line to get to that. Someone in the chat mentioned it, and if you're still in the chat with us, remind me again who you were, because I know it's pretty far up, about Hugo Lloris's age and maybe that showing for the first time in this match. Maybe once or twice Hugo looked a little slow, a little flat-footed, but Hugo also made a couple of saves that absolutely kept us in the game. So I'm not ready to go down that path at all right now, but I think on that one, Hugo should have come out. I think Eddie should have got a better touch on the ball. Either way, set-piece defense was something that we could tell that Steve Cherundolo was bristling about in the press conference, and we find ourselves, after less than 10 minutes, down 1-0.
Ruben Rios in the chat goes, good header. We just need it on the other side of the pitch. Yep. I mean, I couldn't have come up with a better analysis myself. That was, that's fun. I love it. I love it when y'all participate in the chat and come up with sarcastic quips and wins. It's what makes it fun. I mean, we saw a little bit of action in the 13th minute when LAFC started to counter off a little bit. They got close on a corner of their own. Mati Bogusz takes it. Ilya Sanchez had a great look and a great opportunity to score, but Cornell double paws it out. And really, we didn't have much offense after that. You talk about how you weren't taking any notes. I look at my notes within the first half, and I have what? A yellow card here, a bad pass by Ilya in the 33rd, 36, Tillman on the intercept, disposed of though. No, dispossessed. Oliveira was wide. Oh, this is what it was. Tillman was on the what are you laughing at?
You're just like, it's you're doing the stuff inside your head out loud. I enjoyed watching that whole process. That was great.
All right, there was an opportunity where Tillman was, you know, running towards the box. He was dispossessed. And the reason why I bring this up is he had Kike Oliveira wide open on the right. You would see a play later on in the second half in which it looked like Timothy Tillman had eyes on the back of his head when he got a pass out over there. But I don't know if he didn't see him or if he just doesn't trust the fact that Oliveira on inside the 18 is a threat. Because he was so wide open. I don't trust Kike Oliveira to score goals yet either, but that was a scenario in which I thought, I know Tillman could have hit him. Why would he have gone one-on-one when you had Oliveira wide open to the right? You're going to love and you trust your teammates, but that was one in which I felt like he could have passed that ball off rather than try to go for it himself.
Yeah, and look, for all that is frustrating about watching Kike Oliveira still, because he is still definitely developing into a wing player, in that 28th minute, because Timothy Tillman finds Kike Oliveira later on this
run. That was the play, not second half. My bad.
Yeah, Kike beats his man, Noah Eiley, and Noah has to take a tactical foul yellow card after he beat his man. There was no discussion. There was no argument. It was a yellow card. And because of that, the set piece that we get just outside the box to the left of Carlos Coronel winds up being, in my opinion, our best opportunity of the first half. And here's the cool part, right? And I deal with this every now and then in volleyball. When you get a kid who can really jump and your setter needs to adjust and maybe set the ball a little higher for that kid who can really jump, I felt like Matty Bogush actually needed to set the ball a little bit higher for his outside hitter, Kai Kamara. That set piece, Kamara is all the way up in the air. And unfortunately, it's actually not high enough for Kai Kamara.
It was 420, Scarf. He was high enough.
So it was blocked out in front. What I didn't like, by the way, was after they blocked that header out in front, Emil Forsberg off to the races. But who is there 1v1 to shut it down? It's Kike Oliveira again. So there are these moments, you guys. I know it is so frustrating to watch Kike Oliveira make the crosses to the players on the other team or to take the ball all the way down to the end line, break a couple of ankles, beat his man, and then either he makes a pass to absolutely nobody or shoots it way high and up and over. But there are also these little things like Kike picking up the yellow card on Eiley or Kike running all the way back down to defend on Emil Forsberg 1v1 when that's clearly not his job. When he is doing those kinds of little things, those keep you in matches as much as it can be frustrating to watch him do what he does inside the box. So I know. I'm trying to ride the Kike Oliveira train a little bit more. Look, I know I was the only person driving, riding, even willing to stand in the Brian bus for a very, very long time. But
you never left the Brian bus. You followed Club America because you're still riding the damn bus.
That bus is over in Club America. That's it. I'm done. But look, I think Philly, as we hit stoppage time and we talk about this first half again, I like the options that Kai Kamara gave us, the energy, winning headers. He was dangerous on set pieces, seemed to be really leading the club vocally out there. Not a whole lot going on other than a corner kick and stoppage time, Philly. And I think that kind of wraps the first half.
It was the worst first half I'd seen at BMO at home all season. It was so lackluster. Like, I left going to the bathroom like 3 minutes before the final whistle, partially to avoid the line and partially just to just get away and put that memory behind me. It was not an exciting game. And I felt kind of bad because we met some people early on at the tailgate that came out to BMO for the first time for an LAFC game. And we hyped it up. This is going to be a great experience. The atmosphere is fantastic. They play a great attacking brand of football. And LAFC just like put up an egg within the first 45 minutes. Not for a lack of emotion or obviously trying. Aaron Long's defense indicates otherwise. It just wasn't good. Wasn't entertaining, wasn't fun, was quite frustrating. And it just, the injury to Aaron Long just cast a dark shadow over the beginning of that game. It just was not fun. But obviously it's a tale of two halves in a lot of ways because the second half would start off relatively exciting. I mean, within the first half, LAFC did have majority of possession, majority of the passing. They passed very well, believe it or not, at 88% accuracy within that first half. But not a lot of offense generated. Total shots, four, one of them on target. So it wasn't the LAFC that we had seen, you know, in previous games, which is kind of odd considering that they hadn't played at home in over a week, coming off of a spirited match against last week against Portland. But yeah, just a terrible first half, and going into the second, you know, a little bit of optimism, very much in this game, but just sucks that we're coming in down based on the fact that the other team didn't even score.
Yeah. By the way, Brian Rodriguez, as they're saying in the chat, red card for Club America against Pumas last match. So he'll be sitting out his next match. Look, Emil Forsberg came out really asserting himself in the first, I would say, 10, 15 minutes of the half, found himself in the box a little bit more. We had some decent opportunities. Look, we got caught on a counter. Was it Lewis Morgan, right? Who caught us on the counter in the 62nd minute, but the shot was defended pretty well. And then in the 64th minute, when I first saw it, Philly, my first reaction was, ooh, that looks kind of even softer than the Carson foul that was called in the box on Denis Bouanga. But upon further review on replay, indeed, this time they swept the leg on Denis Bouanga. I thought it was soft. It was not. VAR. And Ryan Hollingshead, by the way, over at the VAR official, not to the official looking at VAR, but to the third official over there, the side judge. I don't know what the hell he's called. Why can't I think about that referee's name? Either way, the guy in the pink standing in front of the VAR official, Ryan Hollingshead, was so upset at this guy, saying, look, he did a Johnny. He swept the leg on him. This has to be a penalty shot, losing his mind. And then the referee, he comes out. Let me go back in and look again. Hold on. There was something maybe I didn't see. Either way, they had that thing where you have to announce the call now, which was kind of interesting.
I love that.
Yeah. And by the way, it was definitely a foul. So good on Denis Bouanga. He even said in the press conference, look, I know based on what happened in Carson, every time I go down in the box, they're going to look at it on VAR. That was kind of him admitting again, it was a little bit of a soft foul for the penalty in Carson, but that's okay. We got it. Either way, this one, he earned it. He comes out and from the spot, knocks it down from to the right of Carlos Coronel, to the left of Carlos Coronel, but to his right. And Coronel was definitely hesitant, didn't really go or commit either way. Easy goal, just like that. Denis Bouanga levels it for us, 1-1 Philly, and we have everything to play for the last hour or so, or last 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, the stadium announcement was great. Jay Gutierrez alluded to it in the chat. Absolutely. I think that was the first time that happened all season. I missed a game calling baseball, so I don't know if that was the first time, but I love that they did that. It was unnerving that it took him that long. During these games, I watch him with Panda. I love it, how quick to the trigger she is. She reaches for the phone, has the Apple TV, and we get to see the play develop. And yeah, if us on this tiny little screen can see that, it's clear and obvious, not exactly sure why the official decided to like take as much time as he did. We thought that they would overturn it. Nobody stares at a screen that long and doesn't overturn it. But I love the fact that they made an announcement. You said it, Denny buries it. A perfect 6-for-6 in penalty kick attempts. And he was on the offensive a minute later, this time as a facilitator, acting the playmaker, sliding a pass through in Amadi Bogush, who has an attempt on it. But Coronel, as you said, makes the save. Coronel operating on what? Over 30 clean sheets over the course of his Major League Soccer career. He is a good keeper. 70th minute rolls through, subs, Kai Kamara comes out, put in a good shift. Kai was coming in sometimes after the 60, in the times he what? After the 65th and then at one point in the 80th. This is the most minutes that he's played as a member of LAFC in his first start. So well-deserved. He's still getting himself acclimated to the system. I wrote down a couple of bits that Steve said in the press conference that I'll allude to later, but I would say he put in a solid 70 minutes up until that point, leaving way for Nathan Ordaz, the youngin', to come in and do some stuff, which I would say initially into the game didn't look really good, as he had a pass to absolutely nobody at one point. But Kai Kamara, I think, put in a good shift, and it'll be interesting to see where he fits into the lineup. But as a true number nine, and as Denny referred to, it was nice to play with a true number nine. It seems like the chemistry between all those guys is going to come through. Kai almost came close to scoring against Portland last week. I'm going to go nuts when Kamara ties Landon Donovan's record. I'm going to go even crazier when he breaks Landon Donovan's record. I just thought he would have done it yesterday.
No, yeah, we were definitely hoping for that. But a great 70 minutes. I thought maybe, you know, second half they adjusted to Kai Kamara a little bit better. His first 45, a little bit more effective, in my opinion, in the last 25 or so. But either way, Nate the Great coming on. And it was Nate, by the way, for as bad as his first touch was, and it was bad, that pass to no one. The 77th minute, though, when it's Nate keeping the pressure on, that high press leads to a Red Bulls defender dribbling the ball just clearly out of bounds for a corner for LAFC. Nothing happens on the corner, but that ball recycled back out to Sergi Palencia. Yeah, that long shot kind of saved easily there by Coronel. Denny trying to catch Coronel out wide, has that shot from about midfield. It goes well over, and I think Coronel would have got there in time. Red Bulls make a couple subs in the 79th minute, and then Philly in the 80th minute. For everybody who wants to talk about how Hugo was a little flat-footed, or maybe he should have come out on that first goal, myself included for sure. The save that Hugo makes on Lewis Morgan's header in the 80th minute, first of all, prevented a goal in the Philly minute for the first time in a while, the 80th minute. But also, I mean, absolutely keeps us in the match. A beautiful save by Hugo. And look, it kept us in the match and kept us tied for all of 1 minute. And that 1 minute, anybody here who watches Shorzy, first of all, if you're not watching Shorzy, it is an absolutely hilarious
television.
Gotta watch Shorzy. I felt like this corner kick, Philly, was the very definition of the gyms. You go ahead and you watch number 3, number 15, and number 12. Noah Eiley, Dylan, and Sean Nealis on this corner kick. They had one job. Push as many people together in the middle, shove them all the way back as much as you can, leaving Emil Forsberg to come all the way back out. And I don't think anybody disturbed a blade of grass anywhere near Emil Forsberg on this corner kick. Maxime Cheneau getting caught in the middle instead of marking Forsberg behind him. We just got bullied. Before anything ever happens on the corner, as they're standing over to take it, you got number 15, Sean Nealis, shoving Eddie Segura once, shoving Eddie Segura twice. And poor Eddie is just like, this guy is twice my size. I don't know what I'm doing here. Gets pushed all the way back. You got Noah Eiley taking out Ryan Hollingshead. He kind of dragged him and then kind of pulled him inside a little bit away from Emil Forsberg's spot. And Dylan Nealis, number 12, shoving Ilya and Cheneau together. So Cheneau getting caught a little bit on the inside and then shoving Ilya in the back as the ball sails over to a perfect. It got headed out. I think it was Dylan Nealis, number 12, that got a touch on it with his head, and then it got recycled out, and nobody, and I mean nobody, is around Emil Forsberg. I don't think that happens, Philly, if we have Aaron Long and Jesus Murillo in there. First of all, you are not pushing Jesus Murillo the way that you pushed around Eddie Segura, and I just don't think Aaron Long gets caught in the mix the way that Maxime Cheneau does. If anything, Aaron Long defends his man and marks well personally. There were so many things that went into that goal. If you just look, the bottom line is the gyms went to work and we got absolutely bullied off the ball in the box.
Yeah, Forsberg was at the right place at the right time. Same can't be said for his presence as a husband and a father. If you look up the fact that, all right, you got to look this up. This is, I'm not making this stuff up. This is why I absolutely disrespect and hate this human being. Married for 19 years. He ghosts his wife and kids to sign a contract. He's playing in RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga. All good. Comes over to MLS. All good. I know he's getting divorced. I get that. 19 years, whatever. I'm not in this interpersonal whatever scenario. But how in the heck are you going to leave your kids stranded, move across the world to take on a contract and ghost your entire family? It's amazing. He's and for like New Jersey energy drinks of all things. So I have no respect for this human being. He had one goal coming into this game with six matches, the designated player, one of Sweden's all-time greatest, absolute garbage starting. But, you know, those child support payments are coming through. So, you know, Shanga, I believe that's the name of his wife. You know, I stand with you. I don't support deadbeat dads. And Emil Forsberg, I don't support you either.
My favorite was you just can imagine, like, honey, I'm going out to get a cup of coffee. I'll be back in a little bit. And then the next thing, his wife sees him on the news in New Jersey signing a contract. She's like, wait, honey, I thought you were just getting a carton of eggs and some milk. Where'd you go? And he goes, well, I went to New Jersey to go find myself. By the way, said nobody ever. I went to New Jersey to go find myself.
I mean, that's where you go to bury a body.
RB Leipzig and New York Red Bulls, by the way, or Harrison Energy Drinks, owned by the same larger conglomerate, right? So they can transfer players in it. I mean, look, it's how Carlos Coronel came in, right? Carlos Coronel, I believe, played for Red Bull Salzburg before coming to New York Red Bulls. It's what they do. But man, honey, I'll be right back. Wait, what is he doing on camera in New Jersey?
Just another scumbag, man. Again, I don't know the dynamics of the relationship. Fine. If you have your problems with your significant other, that's one thing. But when there's kids involved, you know, I just don't respect that. I don't respect him as a human being. Pissed me off, man, when he scored a goal. Of all people to score that POS. Screw
yeah, bullshit. That was definitely a bummer. 89th minute. We get Luis Muller making his debut. Nothing like a good German name like Luis, right? Luis Muller debuting for LAFC. That was the giant kid wearing number 91. I say kid. He's actually 23. Look.
Dude, the 38-year-olds are kids to us. What are you talking about?
That's true. Kai Kamara is a kid to us. Look, Luis Muller has been tearing it up for LAFC too. And before you go, yeah, but wait, that's LAFC too. I agree. I'm with you. However, what we have seen from Luis Muller at LAFC too is the kid is both a very true number nine and knows how to play with his body physically in the box. Go back and look at several of his goals for LAFC 2 this season. They have been very physically assertive. He bodies up his man quite well. And not just because sometimes it's a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old on the back line. He's done it against bigger guys as well. He is goal-oriented. He turns and fires, has a good knack for where the net is. Not these wild, widely missed shots. He seems to be very on target with a lot of what he does in the middle. And look, I'm not saying he's going to be a wing player or a number nine for LAFC throughout the course of this entire season, but you could do a lot worse with a depth piece than 91 Luis Muller. And I think he is going to be a kid who will eventually get a first team contract this season with LAFC, be brought up to the big club and be playing normally for them. I don't know. Look, it's like the G League. I don't know what the rules are for coming back and forth between your G League contract and the MLS, but the MLS Next Pro contract and MLS or the G League and the NBA. But I think it's 15 games that he can play without voiding his MLS Next Pro deal and needing to sign a first team deal. Either way, I think Philly, what that wound up doing for us, because at the same time, Luis Muller comes on for Kike Oliveira, Omar Campos coming on for Eddie Segura. And now we had Ryan Hollingshead at center back. So you had Maxime Cheneau and Ryan Hollingshead in the back. With who was that? Was it Sergi Palencia? Who was the third one in the back? Now I'm blanking.
It had to have been Palencia.
Yeah, I think it was Palencia. And all of a sudden we go to three in the back and we go to five in the midfield, just pushing everybody up. And look, I love this. Trundolo is saying, look, screw it. I'm on my fourth string center back as it is. Let's give us the most offensive options coming forward. Omar Campos did not play 1 minute on the back line when he came in. He was essentially a midfielder, pushed all the way up. And I absolutely love the pressure. It's not something we can do, certainly, for 90 minutes. Or maybe we can. More on that in a second. Not something we can do for 90 minutes, but it's something that worked against New York Red Bulls, who was looking to play a much lower block. They went to five in the back with Kyle Duncan coming in for Emil Forsberg. So they were bus parking at BMO Philly. But what we did is say, hold our beer. Go ahead and park your bus. Philly, anything else that happened, and we'll talk about the fifth minute first on the beautiful save by Carlos Coronel. But Philly, walk us through the save by Coronel and then the goal. Denis Bawanga, St. Denis coming to the rescue.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to address everybody on Instagram because I have the chat up. The Instagram live is gone by way of StreamYard. So a lot of those comments on our StreamYard don't translate over. So for those of you who've been asking questions in Instagram, I apologize for not addressing them. Good morning to all of you. LAFC Wolf, real quick. Any news on Eddie Segura? Yes. Steve Cherundolo during the press conference said that Eddie is fine. So hopefully that addresses any of that anxiety. I would have loved to have coined the phrase Miller time, alluding to the 1980s beer commercial that Miller beer would promote. And kids, drink responsibly, unless, of course, you're not of age. And at that point, I don't condone. Well, never mind. After, Danny Bowanga, what can we say? He's been hitting the woodwork like crazy, which has been kind of frustrating. And it's not for lack of effort. I've said this time and time again. Danny Bowanga, one of the leaders in terms of shots and shots on targets. He saves the freaking day. San Denny is Max Brados alluded to on the broadcast. And big shout out to Max. We finally got to see him. Him and our good friend Mariano Trujillo, who we worked with on 110, was on the call. Sergi Palencia bounces a ball on over, who gets over to Denny. And Tolkien, who is the same exact player that Mueller carved up on his attempt. Denny carves him up and gets his second of the day. How he got that through the line of defenders that he did blows my mind. Talk about threading through to the netting. And thank God that that happened, because this really would have been a disgusting way to leave BMO Stadium, a place where we rarely lose. We haven't lost to the Red Bulls since 2018, a game in which Harrison, New Jersey, Royer the Destroyer beats us. And I love the fact that Max called him San Denis, because I certainly let out a holy bleep after that goal, and a holy bleep as a sigh of relief. We draw 2-2. Denny gets a brace, 5 goals on the season. And yeah, thank God.
Wait, are we, first of all, are we not talking about the crossbar that happened right before the final whistle? We almost lost 3-2.
And well, that happened after Denny's goal.
Oh, my goodness. But after Denny Bowanga scores that goal, Red Bulls kick off, bring it all the way back down. And if not for the crossbar, I mean, an awful bit of defending on the right-hand side, getting absolutely carved up, ball played back out of the middle, shot pinging off the crossbar. Do you imagine, Philly? LAFC brings it all the way back, gets the draw, 2-2. Seconds left in stoppage time. For us to have lost that 3-2 might have been something to send us down a little bit of a spiral. We got so lucky off of that crossbar. Look, Luis Muller with an excellent shot in the 5th minute. Denny Bowanga doing everything we needed to do in the 6th minute. But seeing out that match, that was just brutal. Those last couple of minutes, the last little bit of defense, either way. Oh, it's incredible, Philly, how different this point feels than the point that we picked up in Portland. With the Portland point, and I got to keep emphasizing my P's on that one, with the Portland point, it seemed like it was a disappointing point. With this point, it seems like, all right, we battled back. We did not defend set piece as well. We can all look at the lineup that finished this match and say, look, if it was Eddie Segura and Maxime Cheneau at center back, for the better part of, 80-plus minutes, and we still come out with a 2-2 draw, and the only real issue on this, if we're being honest, is our set-piece defense, I think we will take that 100% of the time. It was a great point that we picked up. I don't ever like just a single point at home, but that being said, a great point, Philly. And to be perfectly honest, it was a match that had two halves. I thought that the referee was not very good for us in the first half, for them in the first half. I thought the referee was not very good for us in the second half. I don't think pro referees are ever any good, so it doesn't really matter either way. Philly, can you take us through a rundown of the endgame stats?
Yeah, at the conclusion of last night's affair, LAFC did end up putting 15 shots overall, as they only had 4 within the first half to the 8 of the New Jersey Energy Drinks, 6 of those shots being on target, 2 of them being on target for the Red Bull. Far more efficient in those scenarios. We held the vast majority of possession. Passing accuracy was arguably the best all season, nearly 90%. We topped our XG, which is 1.94. We had far more set pieces, but in the five corners that we conceded, that's where we got devastated, not only by our own arms, but or heads for that matter, but by that of the opposition. So LAFC certainly came out of the second half a completely different team. And thankfully, like you said, we did drop points at home, but we didn't have an L at home. We now have 3 wins, 0 losses, and 2 draws at home, losing at home sucks. Tying is a bit better. But yeah, we would have left BMO Stadium with another taste to disgust. I don't even know if I would have wanted to go to the press conference at the end of that. I would have been so pissed. But alas, we are now 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses. And at the time of this recording, leaves us in 6th place. We're finally starting to get some goals on the season as we have 15 overall as a team. And oddly enough, Scarf, I learned this just this morning. The team that has scored the second most goals in Major League Soccer behind Inter Miami is Portland. Portland has scored 18 goals, but they're sitting in 11th place because there's a case in point. You could score a lot of goals, but if you concede a lot of goals, as Portland has 18, it's not going to do you anything other than diddly bupkis. But as a result, we have another tie, maintain a point. 3-3-3 is fine, as this is a team still looking to find its identity in my perspective, still looking to add more pieces to the roster, still looking to acclimate to the likes of Kai Kamara. And what was said in the press conference, Steve, hold on, I had it written down. That profile of a player we haven't had here at LA, we haven't had here before. I thought that was an interesting comment that Steve made. So it's a matter of adjusting to a true number 9 in that of Kai Kamara. But we'll see how his minutes go when hopefully we sign a certain Frenchman during the summer transfer window. Either way, that gives us now some more depth offensively coming off of the bench. Hopefully we can find another midfielder and another defender to accommodate that as well. But we end in a draw. At least we left home with a feeling of relief. Relief. Again, Saint-Denis gave us a holy bleep perspective on things. And draw at BMO Stadium. So on 420. So yeah. Hopefully many of y'all got to relax quite handedly after this game.
Yeah, and look, being perfectly honest, let's talk real quick. My personal take on Maxime Cheneau in this. Last season, with Giorgio Chiellini and Jesus Murillo, you had a third center back on the bench who was a starting caliber center back in Aaron Long. I don't think Maxime Cheneau is there yet. I think what we saw is some liabilities with Maxime Cheneau in terms of his quickness. But once he settled into the match, I thought Maxime actually played very well. There were a couple of times where we needed him that we didn't see a whole ton. King Lichero, I did not find out what I have going on that I can't make San Jose yet. I'm not sure. Look, I think Maxime Cheneau is fine. I think Maxime Cheneau is a great depth piece. But I think the way he got beat in the first 5 minutes of the match, the way he got sucked into the middle and forgot to mark his man on the corner kick, if at the very least it shows he's still got a ways to go acclimating maybe to our system or acclimating to how we play our back line, I don't think, and God, I hope I'm right with this one, Philly, I don't think we will ever see the pairing of Maxime Cheneau and Eddie Segura at center back on purpose this season, unless maybe, by the way, we see them in Vegas for the Open Cup as we take on the Las Vegas Lights May 8th in Vegas. Vegas on a Wednesday. Let's go, people. Nothing's better than waking up on a Wednesday in Vegas. Oh, good Lord.
I mean, nothing says success quite like waking up on Wednesday in Vegas. I want to go back to to the Cheneau thing. Yeah. You're right. I wouldn't say he completely settled into the game, though, because when Elias Manuel hit the crossbar, that was on Cheneau. Put him on ice skate, Scarf, yeah, and left us in a moment of panic. That would have been all on Cheneau. I don't know if the pitch was slippery. I don't know what the case may be, but Manuel put him, broke the and one thing, broke his ankles while dribbling down the paint. In this case, the 18. It would have been all on him in that circumstance. We're lucky that Manuel wasn't accurate there. I'm not feeling confident about Chanel, but that doesn't mean I'm not confident about him going forward, as this guy is very much battle-tested in Major League Soccer with nearly 170 caps, if not a little more, for NYCFC. But at 34, how is he going to perform against some of these younger, quicker forwards? I know you're going to bring up Giorgio Chiellini, but that's never going to be a fair comparison to anybody that plays in Major League Soccer that hasn't had the kind of career that Chiellini has had. So right now, I'm a little nervous on Chanel. He's starting to slide in there with Omar Campos. Obviously, there's plenty of time to redeem yourself. But dare I say, if you got Eddie and Chanel acting as the center backs, you're just as good as having Philly in the scarf in there. At the very least, you and I take up more space.
Look, I think Eddie and Maxime are a little better than we are. But I think the bottom line is this. It continues to underscore the depth problem for LAFC, especially when a player like Jesus Murillo picks up a knock and can't play because of a knee. And then, unfortunately, we have the Aaron Long situation 5 minutes into the match. Now you're operating no matter what on your third and fourth center backs. The David Martinez issue with his back, that now thins out your front line, although that's why we brought up Luis Muller, and I liked what I saw from Luis. Certainly gives you different options than David Martinez. David Martinez has all the tools in the tool belt: youth, speed, energy, quickness. Muller, I don't think will ever win a foot race with David Martinez, but does seem to understand where the back of the net is a little bit better than David this early on in the season. I think that, though, again, what LAFC has continued to do, and you mentioned it, 3-3-3 now on the season, is we continue to kind of tread water and figure things out on the fly. We are a work in progress, and the process is going just fine. Not well, not terribly, just fine. Like you said, we're fine. And it just feels like a club that is treading water until that July 1st deadline, when if it's Olivier Giroud, great. If it's Carlos Vela, great. If it's other players that have been rumored, the Antoine Griezmanns, the Luka Modrics, I'm going to keep saying Bobby Firmino until someone tells me it's not going to happen. If it's any of these bigger names out there that are coming, I think that can do nothing but help us. But if we are reliant on those guys getting here and we continue to hover around fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place, I think that's kind of what LAFC wants to do this season. Bring in the big guns in July and make your big push. Other than that, I think this was a Philly, we can both agree, a good feeling, a well-earned 2-2 draw at home as opposed to that 2-2 draw in Portland.
I don't know about a good, but a hard-fought and a well-deserved draw at home. And yes, I agree with your assessment that things will start to pick up in the summer. As long as we cover where we are, we'll be fine. We're a team, in my opinion, I don't think it's going out on a limb by saying we're playoff bound, no question. But obviously, a lot of things need to change in order for this team to be MLS Cup bound. So plenty of that on the horizon. Final thoughts on things, judging on the time, is if you're watching this is my final thought. Let's go Mets. You and I got to get out to Dodger Stadium, buddy. It's nearly 11 o'clock. That game starts at 1. I'm done with comments. Defenders, I love you. Hello, Kitty. More airtime for you next week. Scarf, we got to get out to Dodger Stadium.
All right, just the last quick note. We have a week until our next match against Portland at home. Maxime Crepeau coming back to BMO, 7:30 p.m. That also gives Aaron Long a full week to heal, Jesus Murillo a full week to heal, and you guys a full week to listen to the episode. Thank you guys so much. You know how we like to end all our episodes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.